Hello, everyone. This is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbath-Saturday Congregation out of the 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is March 18, 2023, or it is via Dollar 27, 2026. We will start our first service day. Brother Solomon. My heart can sing when I falsely remember the heartache is by the stepping stone along the trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final. Until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day he calls me. The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall their borrowed for a while. And things of earth that cause the heart to chase and mourn, remember there will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day he calls me home, this weary world with all its toil and struggle may take its toll of misery and strife. The soul of man is like a waiting falcon, but his release is destined for the sky. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the setting, until the day he calls me home. One time in greetings number 28, on the threshold of a new world and the sight of the old. This is where we're at today. Okay, text for prayer. This says, the truth shall make you free. I shall read from the Mount of the Blessings, 186. It says, paragraphs 1 and 2. These paragraphs you will notice are based on the scripture. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Okay, Mount of Blessings 186. The Asura here refers unto a class who have no desire but escaping from the slavery of sin by the indulgence in the corrupt and the vile. Their natures have become so degraded that they cling unto the evil and will not be separated from it. For the servants of Yahshua should not allow themselves to be hindered by those who would make the gospel only a matter of contention and ridicule. Okay, it says that the Savior never passed by one soul, however, sunken in sin, who was willing to receive the precious truths of heaven. For the publicans and the harlots, his words were the beginning of a new life. Beneath the appearance of the hatred and contempt, even beneath the crime and degradation, may be hidden a soul that the grace of Yahshua will rescue for the shine as a jewel and the Redeemer's crown. Here we see that in his statement, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, Yahshua instructs his followers to abstain from trying to poke down any Bible truth into those who have no desire to be freed from sin, regardless how far one may have fallen in sin. The Yahweh will not overlook even one soul who is willing to be helped and willing to accept and practice the truth. There it is right there. Practice the truth. With this assurance, let us pray for an increased desire for the escaping from the slavery of sin. Indeed, the important thing is not how good or how bad we are or have been, but how susceptible and submissive unto the present truth we are now while it unfolds. The real burden of our prayer should be that we catch a vision of the truth that makes free if accepted as the scroll unrolled. Into the prayer thought. On the threshold of a new world. This in the side of the old, March 1st, 1947, V.T. Hallock gave the summit. It says this afternoon, and we are to study the seventh chapter of Micah. This chapter brings unto our attention three divisions of time in which three different conditions obtain on the earth. The first condition is recorded in the first four verses, the second in verse 5 to 14, and the third condition is in verse 15 down unto the end of the chapter. Now let us begin our study with Micah 7:1. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape greenings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat, and my soul desired the first ripe fruit. Something is lacking unto a vintage after its fruit is gathered in. What is it? We will find the answer by reading Micah 7:2-6. For the good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward, and the great man, he utters his mischievous desire. So they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The meat upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy washing and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. Trust you not in a friend. Put you not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the righteous, having been taken out of the world, and the wicked alone left in it, this condition is depicted by a vintage that has been robbed of its fruit and left in a state of loneliness and fear because of the total wickedness. This sifting takes place in the day Yahweh visits his watchman. That is, in the judgment day. That's the judgment of the living. That's what we just entered into in 2002 at Kermit at the Passover. We got Passover coming up here in a couple of weeks now, here in 2023. The day that he separates the wheat from the tares, Matthew 13:30. The good fish from the bad fish, Matthew 13:47-48. The sheep from the goats, Matthew 25:31-46. Micah 7:7-10. Therefore I will look unto the Yeshua. I will wait for the Yeshua of my salvation. He's the one that comes with his salvation, because his blood is what redeemed all of those that are to have eternal life. He's the one that brought them salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant. My Yeshua will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in the darkness, Yeshua shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of Yeshua, because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth unto the light. And that's exactly what happened with me and my wife and Alan DeLong down at Kermit 2002 at Kermit at the Passover. He brought me us to the light of the 12th parabolic hour that we have entered into for the last 20 years. And I shall behold his righteousness, and she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her which said unto me, where is Yeshua, thy Savior? Mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets. These verses presents Yahweh's faithful people, the people unto whom these prophecies have been unfolded, as having an enemy that bears the feminine designation, she. This she questions and doubts Yahweh's presence among his people, or Yahshua's presence, that's the son. He's the one that comes as a servant of his father to this earth. He comes and makes his presence known among his people wherever he meets with them through his spirit. She mocks him for their faith. Faith in what? Faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua. It says, since these prophecies are now for the first time brought unto the light, they constitute the message of the hour, and since on us has been placed the burden of the carrying of the message to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and since she is our enemy, as was the Jewish Church to the Apostolic Church of the Church of the Nazarenes of the 12 Apostles, and Yahshua was the head of it, inspiration thus bears witness against her and promises her doom. Then it shall come to pass that the Gentiles shall see the saints' righteousness and all kings their glory, and they as a people shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Yahshua shall name, Isaiah 62:2, Micah 7:11-12. In the day that thy walls are to be built, and that day shall the decree be far removed, and that day also he shall come even unto thee from Assyria, and from the fortified cities, and from the fortresses, even unto the river, and from sea to sea, and from mountain to mountain. Since this decree is removed in the day that the kingdom Yahshua purified is restored. We're talking about restored, and that's the commission given unto the house of David that we represent. In the day that the saints are fortified, for the decree has no effect on them. or it says then the decree has no effect on them. In that day, declares inspiration, there shall be a great gathering from the Assyria and from the fortified cities, even from sea to sea and mountain to mountain. For this message, therefore, is the one that precedes harvest of the earth, the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, the judgment for the living, the day in which all things are to be restored. And Mark 9:12, Micah 7:13-14, notwithstanding, the land shall be desolate because of them that dwell therein, for the fruit of their doing. Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, which dwell solitarily in the wood, in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in the Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old. Before these promises are fulfilled, though, inspiration declared the land was to be desolate, for the dispersion of the people would first take place. This law of Yahweh not only speaks, but it feeds too, and what can it be, if not meat in the due season, if not the message of the hour? For the people explains the scriptures, or those who dwell solitarily in the woods, in the midst of Carmel. For the prophecy this day and hour recommends that the message that the rod contains, and that Carmel puts out, and none other. Micah 7:15, according unto the pace of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things. We are given the promise that the saints' experience is to be similar unto that of the Exodus movement, that is, just as they were led out of Egypt by the mighty hand of Yahweh and were brought safely into the promised land, so shall it be now. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahshua shall set his hand again the second time for the recovering of the remnant of his people that shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Petros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of the Judah from the four corners of the earth, Isaiah 11:11-12, Micah 7:16-18. For the nations shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like the worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Yahshua, our Savior and Redeemer, and shall fear because of thee. And that's because of his saints, the house of David. This is who this thee is, his underservant, who is, and also his under and typical David, who is a Yahshua like unto thee. Well, let's do the Father here. Who is a Yahweh, the Father, like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? For he retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Okay, that's the sure mercies of David. For the envy also of the Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of the Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. That's your 10 tribes. Judah's your 2 tribes, the house of David, tribe of Judah. But that's the lawgiver, Genesis 49:10, Judah. That they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab. That's Abraham's nephew, Lot. That's his descendants, Edom and Moab. And that's who Burles Johnson was. He was antitypical Esau of the kingdom of Edom. He was placed over And he was the firstborn of Isaac. Jacob was the secondborn, the twin brothers. And Jacob was a definite descendant of the Hebrew, his Hebrew father, Isaac. But we know that Esau was a descendant through Isaac. He had a Hebrew father, but he had the bloodline of Cain. And so he became the king of Edom. He married two daughters of the Muslims, Esau did, called Canaanites. And the children of Ammon and Oh shall obey them. They shall lay their hand upon Edom, the kingdom of Esau and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And Yahshua shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. Okay, there you have it. All your Muslims, Palestinians today, all of them, all those Arabs that is vexing Israel today, they're trying to take over the whole land over there. He's going to destroy that whole sea. All of Ishmael's descendants that rise up and rebel against Yahweh's people and fight against them. And with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. Isaiah 11:13-15. As great as shall be the day of Yahshua for the faithful, just that dreadful will it be for the unfaithful. Micah 7:19. He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Our Yahweh is wonderful. Indeed, he retains not his anger. He delights in the mercy. He remembers not the sins of the penitent. He casts them away where they cannot be found anymore. Micah 7:20, thou wilt perform the truth unto Jacob and the mercy unto Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. The inspiration reaffirms all of Yahweh's promises. They never fail. His prophecies are sure. We are on the threshold of a new world and the side of the old. Soon there shall be sin no more. Therefore are they before the throne of the Yahshua, and serve him day and night in his temple. And that's the temple of day, antithetical David, because Yahshua has come and has joined the temple of David. He sits upon the throne of David. It says there in Luke 1:32-33, that his father Yahweh has given unto his son the earthly throne of his father David here on earth. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, and that's Yahshua. They shall hunger no more, and neither thirst any more, and neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, there it is, Yahshua, and shall lead them unto the living fountains of waters, and the Yahweh shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Revelation 7:15-17. Even now, says the Yahshua, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Yet that may ye that make mention of the Yahshua keep not silent, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. For the Yahshua has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give my thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the strangers shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Yahshua, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the course of thy holiness. Go through the gate. Prepare ye the way of the people. Test up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Behold, Yahshua hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say you unto the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. So when Yahshua comes, his work is just beginning. He teams up with the house of David, the lawgiver, the tribe of Judah, and he takes them, the 144,000, and that's when the work begins for Yahshua and the house of David and the 144,000. They go and gather the second fruits from all over the world in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in right now, folks. We need to really work day and night to get prepared for this. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Yahshua, and thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken, Isaiah 62:6-12. We are indeed at the threshold of this new world and the side of the old. Let our works and faith now answer the Yahshua's most astounding question since the world began. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Yahshua whom you seek shall suddenly come unto his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith Yahshua of the host, but who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like the fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of the silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as the gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Yahshua an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Yahshua as in the days of old and as in the former years. And I will come near unto you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the idolaters and against the false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith Yahshua of the host, for I am the Yahshua, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. The 12 sons of Jacob represents the 12 tribes of Israel, represents the 144,000 in our day, today, during the 12th parabolic hour. Malachi 3:1, that's the end of Time of Greeting, Volume 1, Number 28. Let's go right on into 29, Number 29, One Time of Greeting. It says, we're just going to go right on into the sermon. B.T. Hall of February 22nd, 1947, he gave this sermon, and it says, a trodden down kingdom rising to prominence peace. Okay, it says, we are now to study the book of Isaiah, beginning with the first chapter and continuing on into the second chapter. For the first part of chapter 1, you will know, deals with the sins of the ancient Israel, while the latter part of the chapter along with the second chapter deals with the reestablishment of the kingdom in the latter days. Specifically, it is this latter subject that we are to study today. It says, for the prophet Isaiah is being instructed for the recording what was to befall the people of the Yahweh in the early days as well as in the latter days of their history, quickly unfolds the fact that the Yahshua at the same time had in mind not only his people in the ancient time but also his people in our time. This same dual view practice on the subject you will detect throughout the Bible. In this connection, we shall raise the question, is our record as a people better or worse than that of the Jews? This can be readily settled by the reading testimony of Volume 3, page 252 and 3. We shall read right now. For the message to the church of the latter sins is a startling denunciation and is applicable unto the people of the Yahweh at the present time. And unto the angel of the church of the latter sins, and that would be addressed to Brother Johnson, the last minister in charge of Gilead Center, the third feeding pastor for the Seventh-day Adventists. He was in charge of their candlestick of Laodicea, Revelation 3:14-19. And he was the one that judged his sin with there in 2002. And Yahweh sure had to make a changing of the guard at that time. These things saith the Amen. So he says, unto the angel, word of David Johnson, of the Church of the Latter Sins. That's when this address is first given in our day. It says, these things saith the Amen. As a faithful and true witness, as the beginning of the creation of the just, of the Yahweh, the Father, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with the goods and have neither nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. For the Yahshua here shows us to be born unto his people by the ministers whom he has called to warn the people. It's not a peace and safety message. It is not merely theoretical, but practical in every particular. People of Yahweh are represented in the message unto the Laodiceans as in a position of the carnal security. They are at ease, believing themselves to be in an exalted condition of the spiritual attainment, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have neither nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. What greater deception can come upon the human than a confidence that they are right when they are all wrong? For the message of the true witness, and that's Yahshua, he's the messenger, he's the true witness, finds the people of the Yahweh in a sad deception. Yet honest in that deception, they know not that their condition is deplorable in the sight of Yahweh. While those addressed are flooding themselves if that they are in an exalted spiritual condition, the message of the true witness, Yahshua, breaks their security by the startling denunciation of their true condition of the spiritual blindness, poverty, and wretchedness. The testimony is so cutting and severe cannot be a mistake, for it is a true witness who speaks, and his testimony must be correct. Well, that was a message I gave Brother Johnson, July 14, 2002 at Kermit. I gave him this here message. It was a testimony that they asked for. They had requested it. I didn't offer it to them. I didn't even know that was what I was supposed to give to them until the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me what the answer to their question was, or it's causing them to lose all their blessings. I said, well, I don't have an opinion, but I do have a message from heaven. And I gave it to them, and it so shook them to their foundation that they ended up taking 2 weeks to prepare a message to kick me out of the church and get rid of me, saying that I was lying when I said that message was from heaven. Well, they said I had no inspiration. I had no rights to give that. Let us continue. It is difficult for those who feel secure in their attainment and who believe themselves to be rich in the spiritual knowledge for the receiving of the message, which declares that they are deceived and in need of every spiritual grace. For the unsanctified heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. I was shown that many are telling themselves that they are good Christians who have not a ray of light from the Yahshua. They have not a living experience for themselves and the divine life. They need a deep and thorough work of the self-abasement before the Yahweh, before they will feel their true need of the earnest, persevering effort for to secure the precious graces of the Spirit. And Sister Rice quote there from Testimony Volume 3, page 252 and 3. I need not read more, for the inspiration plainly states that today there is to be a message born unto the people of Yahweh, and that message is to be born not by ordinary men, but by the ministers called especially for that purpose, and that it is not a message of peace and safety as the ministry in general would naturally have it. For the author endeavors to impress us with the fact that the people of Yahweh are deceived in the imagining that they are in an excellent condition. Yes, Yahweh's people at this time are every bit as deceived as were the Jews in the days of Yahshua's first advent. In fact, they are perhaps even worse, for they have had the types and the examples of the past as well as the added light shining on their pathway that the ancients did not have. For the prophet Isaiah had sad news for the Yahweh's people in his day. He told them that if they continued in their erroneous ways, all of them, good and bad alike, would be dispersed and assimilated by the nation. Before the fearful of today, he has good news. Isaiah 1:24. Therefore, saith the Yahshua of the host, as the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries, and avenge me of mine enemies, and I will turn my hand upon thee. That was the house of David. The 144,000, this is that thee, and purely purge away thy dross, and take away all thy tin, and I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. After it, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, as the faithful city. So when he says, I will restore thy judges as at the first, what did he have? Samuel was a judge. Well, Samuel and Samson. Samson was a judge of Israel for 20 years. Even though he ended up not doing nearly as well as Samuel. Not an old comparison, but nevertheless, he was made a judge for over Israel. Gideon became a judge over Israel. Rather than let all of the people suffer the consequences of sin, Yahshua at this time promises to avenge only his enemies, his adversaries that are within his church. He will purge and purify his church and then restore his judges. Okay, that's 144,000 men are set up, brought forth out of the Adventist church, purified kingdom, sitting on thrones. Then he's going to restore his judges and counselors as at the first. Then she will indeed be called a city of the righteousness as the faithful city. Behold, the days come, saith Yahshua, that I will sow unto the house of Israel and unto the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of the beast. Okay, and it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them, to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy, and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Yahshua. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on it. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on it. Jeremiah 31:27-30. Isaiah 1:27-28. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness, and the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Yahshua shall be concerned. In these verses, a distinction is made between the transgressors and the sinners. No doubt, the sinners are those who continually live in sin, who continually live in sin, while the transgressors must be those who sin only occasionally. Okay? Transgressors sin only occasionally. Nevertheless, their end shall be the same. Both the habitual and the occasional sinners shall be destroyed together. Isaiah 1:29-31. For they shall be ashamed of the oaks, the great and popular men which you have desired, and ye shall be confounded for the gardens that ye have chosen. For ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water. And the stone shall be as a tow, and the maker of it as a spark, and they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. This is just what the wicked may rightly expect. It is the best Yahweh can give them, for they do not make it possible to have something better. Now we shall go on to the second chapter of Isaiah's prophecy, for it is a continuation of the first, since verse 1 is but an introduction unto what the prophet is to say. I shall omit reading it and begin with verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Asherah's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Out of the ruins of both Judah, that's the lawgiver, house of David, tribe of Judah, Genesis 49:10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and that's Yahshua, and unto him shall the gather of the people be. Right there is your prophecy for Yahshua is coming and gathering the people unto him. And Israel is to emerge as a kingdom and a people which shall be exalted above the nation. For the prophet Daniel 2 plainly declares, in the days of these kings shall the Yahshua of the heavens set up a kingdom. This is the Son. He's going to come down and set up this kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left unto other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel 2:44. Note that the kingdom that the Daniel is speaking of is to be set up in the days of these kings, not after their days. Moreover, note that it is this kingdom, the kingdom of antiquated kingdom of David, as a church purified, that breaks the great image. To this coming kingdom, the church cleansed, purified, shall the gathering of the people be. Genesis 49:10, I just quoted. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, till Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. When the headquarters of the gospel are thus established, so the headquarters of the teaching of the plan of the salvation, the brother, the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, is established by the kingdom of David, the antiquated kingdom of David, in this purified state. Then it becomes certain that the work is to be finished without delay. For the gospel of Yahshua is then for the reaping an abundant harvest, and the converted multitudes, rather than beat the plowshares and pruning hooks into the instruments to kill the humans, beings shall instead beat their spears and swords into the farm implements, rather than work to kill, they shall farm to feed. For the prophecies are simple and logical and structured and enlightened. Certainly Yahweh cannot save the world by a lost church, for the very thought will appear unreasonable if we ask ourselves these questions, how can he possibly, by his church, lead the world out from his sin while sin is flourishing in the midst of his church? How can he lead the world into all of the truth while those whom he is using to teach advancing truth that he comes, imagine that they are rich and in need of nothing and more, when in fact they are in need of everything, even blind and naked and themselves about to be spewed out? How can he say unto his people that are in Babylon, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of the sin that you received out of her plague, if he is to bring them into a church wherein sin is practiced, in view of the fact that the church with sin and sinners in her midst is just as vulnerable unto the plague as is Babylon? How much worse off would that his people be if they were left in Babylon? For the answer unto all these questions is simply this: there must be an awakening of the spiritual poverty. There must be an awakening unto the spiritual poverty and earnestness in the searching for the truth, or of the truth. There must be a stop to sin. There must be a stop to sin. Somewhere along the line, we got to have a stop to sin. There must be a sinless place and people, an ark of safety, so to speak, if we are ever to be saved from the plagues, for the Achaeans too must be put away before the Israel can triumph and take the land. For Yahweh in his wisdom knows that it is better to destroy comparatively few enemies of the truth than to lose the whole world. All the stumbling blocks must be removed. That's what Sister White said, I believe, in volume one of the testimonies, I believe, or it might be in volume three. Page 333, she says, that Yahweh has to remove every stumbling block so that there be a pure and holy people to declare his statutes and judgment during these last days. Then the church will have a second Pentecost. This is what we're looking for. We got a Passover coming up in a couple of weeks, and now we're going to have a Pentecost seven weeks after that, and this could be the Pentecost. Wouldn't it be nice if it was? Then every church member will be filled with the Spirit. Every church member will be filled with the Spirit. And it shall come to pass afterwards, after the latter rain, after the latter rain, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall dream, see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my Spirit, Joel 2:28-29. Let us now solemnly and diligently heed to Yahshua's plea and to us, unto his people at this very time, Isaiah 2:5. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Yahshua. Very obviously, this verse implies that hitherto Yahshua's people have been walking in the light of man. Isaiah 2:6. Therefore thou hast fantasies, forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they are replenished from the east, and are the soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves and the children of the strangers. His people, as an organization, are forsaken of him, but as the individuals who come to walk in his life and for the following him in the truth and righteousness, are a re-accepted when the present controversy over the message of the hour is ended, then those who survive the purifying process, the judges for the living in the house of the Yahweh, 1 Peter 4:17, that's what we went through when judges started at the ancient men for the house in Kermit, Texas, It's Brothers Johnson, 2002, at the Passover. That's what happened. Ancient men for the house, Isaiah 9:6. The judgment started with Brothers Johnson. The judgment starts the judgment of the living, closing out the sixth seal, opening up the seventh seal, Revelation 8:1, and beginning the judgment of the living with the house of David, Elijah David, and Yahshua, with the two together, started the judgment of the living. The cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14, will be the inhabitants of Zion and of Jerusalem as the members of the church, the body of Yahshua, Isaiah 2:7. For the land also is full of the silver and gold. There it is right there. The land is full of silver and gold. That's Isaiah 2:7. Neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is full of horses. Neither is there any end of their chariots. So you see the United States right here in Texas. It's full of all the silver and gold, and there's no end of all the animals that we need and so forth. And chariots. Of all the nations in the world today, America as the nation in which are the headquarters for the church is the richest, especially so at this particular time, the time in which the truth is unfolding. Moreover, no other nation has as many church leaders, horses, and as many church chariots. No other nation in the world has for every one of its citizens room in its chariot. These are the designated marks which Yahshua employs to point out the land and the people unto whom he is speaking. Well, isn't this interesting? The house of David that takes over these horses and chariots, they are the house of David. And so all the spoils of the Adventist church then is going to be given over to the house of David. So we'll have plenty of money and plenty of equipment to work with to carry this everlasting gospel first over the United States and then the world. Isaiah 2:8-10. Their land also is full of the idols, for they worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore forgive them not, enter into the rock, and hide thee in the dust, for the fear of the Yahshua, and for the glory of his majesty. For the nation referred to evidently brags much about her achievements, as the great and small are all alike in this respect, says inspiration. True, there is nothing wrong in the progress, but progress should never become our Yahweh. Eventually, all will come unto the end of their idolatry, but when the Yahshua manifests his power, they will leave their idols and run for the rocks. Here it is right here, Isaiah 2. Okay, Isaiah 2:11. For the lofty looks of man shall be humble, and the hardiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Yahshua alone shall be exalted in that day. For those who now exalt themselves will have to be humbled. Isaiah 2:12-19. For the day of the Yahshua of the host shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low, and upon all the cedars of the Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of the basin, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fence wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all the pleasant pitches, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the hardiness of men shall be made low, and Yahshua alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols shall be utterly abolished, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth, for the fear of the Yahshua and for the glory of his majesty. when he arises to shake the earth, terribly shake the earth. Though men are now exalting themselves even above Yahweh, the day is upon us in which they will see themselves as they actually are. They will feel very small, and as they behold the power of the great Yahweh, Yahshua, Isaiah 2:20-21, in that day a man shall cast his idols of the silver and his idols of the gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, unto the mold and the best, to go into the cliffs of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for the fear of the Yahshua and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Those who do not now cast their idols unto the mold and unto the best, as it were, will have to do so later, but it will then be too late to profit them. Isaiah 2:22. Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, but wherein is he to be accounted of? Here is Yahweh's simple remedy for his people. They should cease listening unto the soothsayers. They should instead hear what the inspiration has to say. Study Yahweh's word for themselves with the aid of the actually inspired teachers of the Yahweh, and make their own decision. Never, never rely upon the decision and judgments of the others, no matter what they are or who they be. Just recently, a certain sister gave her reason for leaving one man's teachings and embracing another. Said she, so-and-so prays more and has more of the spirit than so-and-so, and I intend to stay by him, and never again will I trust in a man. It is obvious that this sister chooses to stay by one's teaching, not because of the teaching themselves, but because of the man's appeal unto her. Then her statement, never again will I trust in a man, positively proves that she does not know herself, and that she knows even less what it means to trust in a man. We believe in the Bible writers not for what they were, but for what they wrote. Men that are deceiving are all praying men, for the devil knows that the more they put themselves and their religion on display, the more will the people fall for them. They have nothing else anyway. Well, the majority do not pay much attention to what the Bible really says, and therefore know not that the Jews who crucified Yahshua were deceiving the common people by much praying where they could be seen, that none of the prophets endeavored to thus sell themselves unto the people, that what they were anxious to sell to the people was not themselves, but the Yahweh and his truth, that they all were very careful not to make a display of themselves. But Yahshua himself reaffirmed the same pattern. He did not pray with the Nicodemus or with the rich young ruler, but plainly told them what the truth is. There is no record that he prayed for anyone. On the contrary, though, I know a man making a prayer room in the corner of a public toilet, anything to sell himself unto the people, for that is what people are looking for rather than the truth. It is because the laity are, as a rule, quick to listen unto men that appeal unto their taste. That because of this, the enemies of the truth carefully and studiously try to pin something against the churches of those who bear the message of the hour, for the adversaries well know that the laity are making their choice on the face value of men's purported reputation rather than on the weight of the truth. For this reason, the adversaries of the truth of heaven are taking advantage of the situation. And so since they cannot refute the truth, they desperately resort unto the pharisaical falsehoods with which to char the characters of those with whom they disagree. We nevertheless have good cause for the great and solemn rejoicing that we are privileged to be living in a day when out of the ancient ruins of the Judah and Israel shall emerge a kingdom and a people that shall be exalted above all the kingdoms of the nations of the earth. And that's who we represent. When the headquarters of the gospel are established in the mountain of the Yeshua, then the work will be finished without delay. For the converted nations will beat their swords into farm implements. They will turn from warring to farming after Yahweh's church passes through the purifying process, and it shall be clearly seen by all that a lost church could not save a lost world. During the second Pentecost, every church member will be filled with the Spirit, and as a result, thousands will without hesitancy embrace the truth for this time. There is no time to lose. The day is upon us when men shall see themselves as they actually are. True, those who do not now cast aside their idols will do so later, but as we said before, it will then be too late to profit them. Now is the time to turn from men and to make our own decisions in the accordance with the promise that unto any Yahweh's trusting and truth searching, one Yahweh will give his Spirit to lead him into all the truth. Even though the enemies of the truth may resort unto every perfidy to harm the cause, yet truth always triumphs, and Yahweh's people with us. Nothing can hurt the truth. It is like an anvil with the hammers of the adversaries are all worn out. The anvil will still stand. This brings the end of our study. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour. Calling us number 11. Click on our audio archives to hear this message and more. Let us now close with a song.
Save me like a shepherd lead us. Save me like a shepherd lead us. Much we need that tenderest care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our years the folks prepare. Blessed Yahshua, blessed Yahshua, has brought us and behold. Blessed Yahshua, blessed Yahshua, has brought us and behold. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be their guardian, help our way. Keep the flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Yahshua, blessed Yahshua, you'll hear us when we pray. Blessed Yahshua, blessed Yahshua, you'll hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. And thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Yahshua, blessed Yahshua, will return to thee. Blessed Yahshua, blessed Yahshua, will return to thee.